UCB Ireland. More than just words. More than just music.
Guys, joining me on the show today, this man needs no introduction. It's Mitch from Crown Jesus Ministries. Mitch, great to have you. What's the crack?
Oh, thanks so much for having us on. Well, the Lord is good and we've got some sunshine in the sky, haven't we, the last couple of days.
Sunshine. So we're recording this on a Tuesday afternoon. Beautiful.
Exactly. It's beautiful. It's a little bit of sunshine does you the world of good. Puts a little bit of colour on our heads too, Tim. You have to go find that sunscreen. Yes, factor 50 on.
Yes, I have a pink head. I'm just back from a little mini trip in Portugal and I am pink. It's class. So, Mitch, I was kind of inspired this morning, is the word I'll use. Some people might say lazy. I'll say inspired to jump onto ChatGPT. I use ChatGPT a lot. I think it's a great resource for the church, for church leaders, and for busy people, just to be able to, you know, use stuff. It doesn't replace the Bible.
Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of using it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it's there's a wonderful opportunity for us to just make life easier for us. And so we'll put it in this morning. Let me tell you what I put in. I'll read it to you if that's okay. I'm speaking to Mitch from Crown Jesus Ministries today. And we are recording an interview for UCB Ireland. So let me give you its response. And then if you don't mind, we might just visit some of these questions together. So ChatGPT said this. I was expecting it to say, don't talk to him. He's a heretic.
It's a cult. It's a cult. Stay away from him.
It said this. That sounds like a strong conversation ahead, given Crown Jesus Ministries. And Mitch, you've got an opportunity to go beyond biography and into the heart of mission, culture, and what God is doing in Ireland right now. It even got your story, Mitch. Imagine that. Like, Mitch's story is compelling. Coming to faith at 19, later serving as a firefighter before stepping into full-time evangelism and helping lead Crown Jesus Ministries across Ireland. So it says, here are some interview angles that would work well for UCB Ireland. So it talks about your story. It talks about evangelism in Ireland today. It talks about revival and hope. It talks about personal faith. And then it says it's got a few radio gold questions sticking in at the end as well. I'm going to kick off, if that's okay, with the question. We'll go straight for the gold. We're digging for gold
this
today.
This will be fun.
So the first radio gold question that it says is...
as soon as you ask the questions, I'm going to go to ChatGPT for the answers.
Brilliant, okay. I should have sent you this in advance then. So it says this, that the first question in the radio gold questions was, what is the most unexpected place that you've ever seen someone encounter Jesus?
It's the most unexpected place. I think what that's part location, but it's part unexpected place of where their heart was. I remember doing some street evangelism. When I do street evangelism, by the way, I rarely preach on the street. I actually did a bit last week, but I rarely do that. I'm more inclined to just have conversations with people and say, do you believe in prayer? Is there anything I can pray for? And so this guy, this is on Belfast City Centre, and he's walking past and he's a big guy, white t-shirt, kind of belly pushing out through the t-shirt.
Okay.
Spiders, webs, tattoos on his elbow, swans on his neck. Kind of curt person most people avoid, except Jesus. He doesn't avoid those kinds of people. So I moved towards him and I said, excuse me, sir, do you believe in prayer? He very quickly, no. And I probed a little bit, took a couple. There we go. Did we lose me there?
You lost you there just for a sec. So the last thing that we heard you say was that, and we're not going to edit this, we're just going to keep this in. The last thing that we heard you say, Mitch, was that you met this guy in the big t-shirt with the tattoos walking down the street and that you would avoid him, or you wouldn't avoid him because Jesus wouldn't avoid him.
That's it. Thank you. So anyway, I moved towards him and I said, excuse me, do you believe in prayer? And he said, no. And he gave me all the reasons why he wouldn't believe in prayer. That was rubbish. It was talking to the ceiling, that God doesn't exist. I just let him vent off. And then I said to him, let's give it a go. And he said, oh, I'm in a rush. And we'd been walking a little bit. And I said, well, look, give me one thing to pray for. What have we got to lose? So he said to me, pray for my brother. And I said, what's wrong with him? His words. He said, he's in a mental institution. I said, what's his name? I can't recall. Let's call it John. And I said, let me pray for him. So he stood there and I just started to pray. And I just started to pray. He started to cry. And I said to him, are you okay? And he said, I don't even know why my brother's name came into my head. I haven't seen him for 4 years. I don't even think about him. And here you are, a stranger, praying like with love and compassion for someone you don't even know. So that opened the whole door up to the love of God. And I'm still like, it's the most unusual place. And his heart is not in that place either. But as we started to talk about Christianity, he's just started to like go from this very cold to being open to the whole idea of God just because of a prayer for his brother. Now, I'm an evangelist, but I was actually struggling to kind of like make some further headway with a conversation when, true story, this woman walked across the street and said, excuse me, can I invite you to my church on Sunday? And I thought, that's just the most bizarre thing. It turned out she lived like 2 or 3 blocks away from where he lived.
Wow.
And by the end of it, they had changed phone numbers. He was picking them up for church on Sunday. So it was the most unusual place in terms of it was a rough side of Belfast. And his heart was in the most unusual of places. No interest in God.
Yeah.
And inside 15 minutes, he was wide open for the gospel.
Yeah. Tell me this, Mitch. You've probably told me this before, but it's escaped my mind right now. I know ChatGPT said that you encountered Jesus when you were 19, but talk me through that journey. Was that like a moment, or was it a process?
Well, I think for most people it's a process, and for me it was a process, and it was a moment.
Yeah.
I lost my dad Tim when I was 13. I grew up in a Protestant side of the divide here in Northern Ireland, in Belfast, East Belfast. Attended the Presbyterian Church. Lots of good people around me. Thankful that my dad, you know, he taught me the Lord's Prayer, all that kind of stuff. But I wouldn't say my family were a Christian family. They were a church-going family. But once my dad passed away, I guess as a teenager, I made lots of bad choices. Was going to church less and less, unless they were giving me a free cheeseburger or there was some motives to be there. I wasn't at church. I was disconnected. And 17, 18, I wasn't miserable. A lot of people think Christians, non-Christians are miserable. I was not miserable. I was very happy. I was unemployed and I was happy unemployed. I went to the gym and flexed my muscles 3 or 4 times a week and all of that, and ate my protein. Mom looked after me at home, had a steady girlfriend, a good bunch of friends. I was not miserable, but I wasn't complete. There was something missing. And so at 19, my brother was a Christian. There's 3 of us. The middle brother was a Christian, and I was inspired by him. You know, he was a very kind guy, and he played professional football for Ipswich Town, if you can call that professional football. And he came back and signed for Portadown, and when he signed for Portadown, he was over giving his testimony in a local church, and I was just questioning, and I went along, and he shared, my brother Philip shared his story. Stephen Baxter, another footballer at the time still involved in football in Northern Ireland, shared his story. And a preacher called Roger Carswell from Leeds area of England shared a message. And I just remember his message was, you must be born again. And at the end, I took a little booklet, and in the quietness of my own room, it made sense. It made sense that this God really did love me, and he wanted a relationship with me. And Jesus came to die for me, to reconcile me back to God, and that I could have not just eternal life with him, I could have a full life in him now. And that was it. I told someone inside 48 hours. I told someone the next day and the next day. And I guess here we are 33 years later and still telling people. So it was a process, Tim, in terms of over years. Those little Bible verses and songs I learned in Sunday school and the Lord's Prayer, all those things were kicking around my head. And I guess God was on my case. The Holy Spirit was convicting me. And I'm so thankful. I look back and think, gosh, how many twists and turns of where things could have went really bad for me. I was making some really stupid choices, really stupid. And but God put me back from the brink.
Yeah, very good. So you've spent years then since that moment back into the ChatGPT. I can't even say it. Let's try again. I'll slow down. Back into the ChatGPT question. So you've spent years then sharing Christ across Ireland since that moment. That was part of that whole process. What do you think has changed now in how people have responded or do respond to the gospel? Have you seen a change over the years?
Oh, incredible. Honestly, like Crown Jesus Ministries is now established 27 years. Now, there is change in terms of we have matured, of course, and our not only has our theology developed, but our understanding of Ireland and Irish culture, all of those things just come with. If you're a learner, you should be maturing and you see things with a different lens. But even if I hadn't went through all of that process, there is no question that on the island of Ireland, God is up to something very exciting and unique. And I was preaching in Kildare on Sunday. I said to people then, I have been astonished at what God is doing in the last 2 or 3 years across the whole island of Ireland. I'm seeing more people come to faith in Jesus. I'm seeing more followers of Jesus. I'm seeing churches spawning out left, right, and center across Ireland, more in the last 2-3 years than I did in the previous 25. Why is that? I think it's down to two things. I think one, and we are seeing particularly in the 40s and 50s, not just this. You know, historically, and the evidence is there, most people come to faith in Jesus between the ages of 13 and 18. That's been the evidence. But we're seeing a lot more adults. And I think there's two things going on, Tim. I think one, in a culture, people are just overwhelmed with choice and disappointed. They are bombarded with half-truths and disappointed. Disappointed with governments, disappointed with social media, disappointed with news, disappointed just with life, disappointed with all the promises that drugs and alcohol will bring them. And there's just a great sense of disappointment. And they are wanting hope. They're wanting a hope that doesn't disappoint. They want something to anchor their lives in that is secure and robust and steadfast. And they don't want religion, but they're spiritual Celtic people. It's just in us. We're spiritual people. We're open to the idea that there's more to life than just the fixed things that we see around us. And so people are hungry, and that God is just in the midst of that. So that's one thing. There's a hunger. The second thing is there's just a supernatural God thing happening. And it can only be, Tim, in the response to our prayers. John Wesley said one time, it seems that God will do nothing except in response to the prayers of his people. So God is answering our prayers. Sometimes we don't see it. But he is working and he is answering our prayers. And all of these churches and all of the cries and prayers for unsaved loved ones, God is hearing these prayers and he is answering our prayers. And there is an awakening happening. There is something happening in the island of Ireland, north and south. I could tell you story after story of people encountering Jesus. And the interesting thing is, Tim, they're not just encountering Jesus in the church. In fact, more often than not, they're encountering Jesus outside of the church, through social media, through the influence of a podcast, whatever it might be. And it's a really, really exciting moment. Culturally, we didn't have that 27 years ago. Even the sense of a north-south divide. If you go back even 10 years ago, you were a northerner coming down to tell people that they were wrong and you were right. There was a sense of arrogance with it. There was a sense of people would say, if I don't go to my church, why would I want to go to your foreign church? You know, that's how people in the Republic of Ireland would have perceived anything Protestant. That's gone now. Yeah. That's gone. That divide is ripped up. And I guess finally, observation, Tim, on it has been that the whole venture of apologetics and defending our faith against militant atheism has shifted. That militant atheism is dead. Nobody is buying books anymore by Richard Dawkins and that kind of stuff because it had nothing to offer. It didn't have any hope to give anyone. It hit in the COVID and it came out the other side just blown apart. Nobody wants to read books that just kind of are militant at ripping at the idea of God apart. So the apologetic questions are different.
Yeah. Well, I love the apologetic questions. Off air, we were chatting about Portugal. And I was telling you that I've just been away with some of my running friends, my football team, for want of a better description, and having the conversations. And one of the questions that I'm often asked is like, why do you believe? And I bring it back to the most basic of fundamental principles is that I can't believe in anything other than a created world. And if I believe in a created world, then I must believe in a creator. And for me, that's the foundation of everything. Like, I don't even feel like in conversation now the need to defend that, because it's so fundamental to everything that I believe. It's a non-negotiable for me. And it's become one of those things where it's just like, I just, no matter, you know, I'm not arguing science. I'm not arguing anything. I'm just telling you at my core, the very essence of who I am, it is impossible for me to believe in anything other than a created world and a creator, a God who spoke the world into existence, and everything else about me and what I believe flows from that. Amen. It's rooted in that. And that's it. There's nothing that you will show me that will change that. There's nothing that you will try to communicate towards me that will change that. It is a core fundamental belief that God spoke the world. He said, let there be, and there was. And I can't believe anything else beyond that. And so that's a fundamental thing for me, Mitch. But again, looking at these questions that ChatGPT have thrown up at us, like, I'm very confident in communicating that, articulating that, and having that conversation with anyone and everyone, because it's what I believe. But there
it's very simple. I mean, I'm right with you in that. You know, when we're having conversations with people, I say it comes down to two options: either in the beginning God, or in the beginning no God. There is no third option. Mm-hmm. If you go with the second option of in the beginning no God, you have to believe that something came from nothing, and that is not scientific. That science says cause and effect. So you have to believe that something created nothing, and in the 3 million years since then, nothing has ever created something since. So you have two options, either God or no God. And if you go with one, in the beginning God, then your next question is, what's he like?
Yeah.
Can he be known? And as Christians, we believe not only can he be known, but he wants to be known.
Yeah,
and he reveals himself through his scriptures and through creation and through our conversations with each other and ultimately through his son.
Yeah. We could stop there. Well, we won't. We'll keep going. Tell me this then. Here's a big one, because this is what we do day in, day out. This is our bread and butter. We thrive on these conversations, but there's a lot of people who, you know, their job doesn't revolve around, you know, study, articulating, you know, pray, you know, like there's lots of other things, and sometimes they can feel nervous about sharing their faith. How can we help people overcome that fear, Mitch? What do we do? How do we help them?
Okay, well, as a Christian, to overcome and to share your faith, the confidence that I get in this is first and foremost from Jesus in Luke chapter 24, and I believe it's verse 49, and this is what he has to say. I will send you the promise of the Father. Wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And this is what it says. It said, I'll send you the promise of the Father. Wait in Jerusalem, and he will fill you with power from on high. And this is Luke writing this, who wrote more words in the New Testament than the Apostle Paul. He wrote more words than anybody else. He wrote Luke, and then he wrote Acts, and he begins Acts just as he finished Luke with the same words in Acts 1 verse 4. Jesus said, "I will send you the promise of the Father. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you will be my witnesses." So, Tim, my confidence in witnessing is not in what I have in my head, but what I have in my heart, that I know that God has endued me with power from on high, that the promise of the Father is His Holy Spirit, and His Holy Spirit working in and through me is the greatest evangelist. Jesus said, "He will glorify me and make my teaching known. He will help you to remember everything that I have said. He is your comforter. He is your companion, and He is your ally." So people get afraid when it comes to evangelism because they think, gosh, I need to memorize this, and I need to have the brain the size of a bus to tear people's arguments down. And no. You just have to position yourself in Christ, filled with His Spirit, and just love the people in front of you. Yeah. You know, sometimes the best thing you can say, Tim, to someone who asked you all the questions is just to say, "I don't have all the answers, but I want you to know Jesus loves you very much."
Yeah.
To answer the question, I guess, a little bit further, but simplified, Karl Barth, one of the greatest theologians of our time, he wrote 2 million words on theology, most of it in German. He was asked one time, "Could you summarize your faith in those 2 million words for us?" And Karl Barth said this: "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And I think, you know, that we carry the childlike faith in our hearts to just say to people, "It's enough for you to know, and can I pray for you?" Prayer is supernatural, and we should never dismiss in our evangelism the power of just listening and loving the people in front of us. People think evangelism is just about having a big mouth, dumping information on people, showing off what you know. It's not. It's about taking pastoral care outside of the church. We need to have more big-eared evangelists rather than big-mouth evangelists. Just listen, love the people in front of you. Let the Holy Spirit out. Let the Holy Spirit do what He does best, to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment, to glorify Christ.
Brilliant. So I love that. That is the wee segment that I am ripping from this conversation for the promo. That is for sure. We need more big-eared and big-mouthed evangelists. Praise the Lord for that. Mitch, last question before I let you get back to your day from the ChatGPT list. If you had 1 minute with every person in Ireland, what would you say?
1 minute. Okay. Here's 7 points to the gospel in 1 minute. Number one, in the beginning, God.
Yes.
As we've covered it already, you've got two options, God or no God. Number two, this God can be known, and He reveals Himself through His Word, the Bible, and He reveals Himself through His Son. God in the beginning, He wants to be known. Point number three, God to the rescue. God sent His Son Jesus. I was a firefighter for 16 years, so we use the word Savior, rescuer, same thing. God sent His Son Jesus to reconcile us back to God. And a lot of Christians miss this, Tim, and a lot of people don't understand this. It's very significant. When Christ came and died on the cross, all my sin was laid on Him, and all His righteousness was laid on me. We use a fancy theological term, imputed righteousness. Why is that important? Because of what I've talked about in Luke chapter 24. Jesus wants to send the promise of the Father, and He can't send it on a sinful people. The Holy Spirit can't be in sinful people. In fact, I would go so far to say, Tim, is the only reason Jesus died on the cross and rose again was that so that we could receive the promise of the Father. God can be known. God wants to be known. He sends his son not only to rescue us, but going to point four is this, is that so that we can be born againers, that we can be the transformed ones, the new ones from the inside out. You have become transformed. I'm not the old person like with an upscale. I'm made brand new in him. The fifth point is this, that we are the sent ones. We are sent out in the mission of God to love your neighbor, to display kindness, to give people second chances, to actually bring the kingdom of God down to earth. And the next point of the gospel that people often forget is this. Jesus is coming back one day. He's coming back and he's going to turn all the wrong things right side up. He's going to fix it all. All the tears that have been shed, all the heartache, all the questions that we don't understand. He's going to come. He's going to be there. He's going to fix it all. And he's going to create a last point. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And you have an invitation to come to that. And if you're listening here today and you're not sure, I want to tell you today, you can be sure. You're one prayer away of making Jesus your Lord and Savior so that you can be reconciled to God, filled with his Spirit, and have a home in heaven where you can praise him forevermore. But it's not just about heaven. It's about what you can do in the here and now. God can transform your life. You're one prayer away.
Beautiful stuff. Mitch, that is a great way to end this conversation. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. Great to have you. Great to see you. God bless.
Thank you. God bless.
Faith Inspiring Radio. This is UCB Ireland.